So where are you at? What are we talking about today? What do you want to address?
That's a good question. I'm just going to take a second to ask myself. I'm pretty good. I think mentally I've been in a good place. Mentally and emotionally, I've been in a good place for quite a while now. So I'm tending not to question that. Physically, my body's letting the side down a little bit in terms of fatigue and general sort of exhaustion and inability to do certain things. And so I learnt a lot of acceptance of that recently, and the way out seems to be by taking things really slowly and effortlessly. So I've been practicing this mixture of ahimsa, which I know you know is about non-violence towards yourself and everybody else, and that's in action and in thought as well. So I've been being aware of when I've been having thoughts that are negative or against myself, and just being fully compassionate to myself in every way. And that's been interesting, because what I've found happening is that I've eased off a lot of the blocks that I've had in place that I think have been protective of me, in the sense that I think there was a sort of negative barrier around something, like thinking about work or financial situation or past relationships, and that they've been negative thoughts. So I've had this negative barrier, and so because I've been practicing ahimsa, I've been removing that negativity, and with that, the barrier between myself and those memories and those thoughts has come down a little bit. Well, a lot of it in some cases, completely in some cases. And so I've had these negative thoughts flooding into my mind, and I've been slightly confused and overwhelmed by them, because it's just been such a long time since I've had those, that I haven't really known what to do with them. And I've kind of been aware that they could take me into feeling down. And so I've just been observing that process of me feeling a little bit, not depressed, but I'd say, a little bit sad, and lamenting over, past experiences, or not being where I want to be, and expectations and judgment and all that. And I've watched myself go through it and then kind of gone, no, that's not how you're doing things anymore. You're not, you've got these barriers down. You also need to, fill the space of these memories with love and compassion. And I've been really, I'm really proud of the way that I've gone through that process myself, and dealt with some things that, have been challenging me for a really long time. And as I've done that, I've felt the weight of that issue lift, and I've felt this a more compassionate view, to the thing that before was negative in my life coming in. And that feels really good. It feels more, grown up and mature, and the right way for things to be. Simultaneously letting something go and choosing to see the fond memories, or the compassionate view. That's where I'm at.
So you said these blocks that you had and these negative barriers that you had, which made you confused and overwhelmed and you were feeling down. Could you like tell me what, how did you recognize it, and what did you do to get past that experience and then pull down these barriers and feel the space that fill the space with love and compassion? How did you do it? Like, what was the process of it? Was it like a certain sudden realization, or did you go from one experience to another experience, or did all of these barriers come down altogether? How?
Sorry. You know when a thought pops into your head and you don't really know where it's come from? It might have been triggered by something, but it just pops into your head, and sometimes it's not always a thought that you want, and you either sort of attach to it or you detach from it. And when it's really emotionally charged, you can it's harder to let go of it. And I found recently that these kind of thoughts have been coming back into my mind as I've let this let these barriers down. And it's almost like an emotional release. A negative emotional release. And it's not almost like it is, it's a negative emotional release. And rather than it looping into a reinforcement of that negativity, of that memory being negative and making me sad, I've managed to sort of observe that happening, and sort of and say, no, look, feed some compassion in, Rich. You don't want to be in this space. You want to be in a space of love and compassion. And as I've done that, I've found the memory shifting, or the pain dissipating, or the whatever emotions it's brought up, slowly turning into even having some positive thoughts about something that has felt really negative for a long time. And then letting that memory sort of go. And it cycles around a little bit. It's not just linear, kind of doesn't just come in and go out. It cycles around as it would do when we get stuck in a, and when we're attached to a thought or a memory that emotionally charges us. But as those cycles go around, rather than it just taking me down in a downward spiral, there's a moment where I'm choosing to actually send it in an upward spiral instead. And it, by doing that in that particular moment, it somehow undoes the memory's sort of stickiness and permanence in my mind, and kind of frees it from my connection to it in a more lasting way. It's almost as if I'm kind of setting off these balloons of old memories and just letting them go into the into space. But the process of detachment is by applying love and compassion to them, and they sort of circulate and float off.
Wow, that's nice. I was just like imagining the balloons and letting go in the space. Interesting way of experiencing it. And I also found this thing that you spoke about, stickiness and the cycling around that emotion, coming back to it. I think we all like, I also do that. That's been my recent experience as well. When you talk about ahimsa, non-violence towards self, and I think that's the basic, like the previous conversation we had when we spoke about self-love, and that's the birth of self-love, right? So you're being non-violent towards yourself and letting go of these barriers and negative barriers, and I think it's been a journey for both of us from the past 1.5-2 years now that we've known each other, on how we've come from that state of a sudden gush of realization that things could be different and can be worked, and then to this space right now where we are loving all the blocks in our lives and negatives in our lives, and letting go, I think, is what would be the perfect term that I would stick to, your balloons, and you know, it's just letting go. It's time for those memories to be gone, because I think that's what holds us back in our past, and because those past memories, you know, pile up, they become like bags on our, you know, imagine filling up your backpack
yeah.
with stones and carrying them and walking them through your life, then, you know, it becomes, the walk becomes more difficult, the walk becomes more heavy, and the moment you let go of it, the walk becomes, you know, lighter, and the journey gets a lot better, because you're carrying lighter experiences with you, and you're letting go of the heavier ones, and there's more evolution that happens at that point, where your emotions are evolving from bitter stickiness to feeling light and, you know, floating off. And I think that's very important when it comes to relationships, and any form of relationship, of anything that you've had relationship with, a memory, you know, an incident, any relationship. We build relationship with everything, right? So, yeah, it definitely makes sense of, you know, the ahimsa leading to realization and like towards feeling light and levitating into a lighter state of mind.
You've got it, yeah. It's,
yeah.
You know, where we choose to place our energy is important. You know, we can get into bad habits that feel like the way we do things is the way that things are, and it's not the case. Often we're in bad habits, we don't realize we're in a bad habit, we're in a pattern, and patterns can be broken, and firstly recognizing that pattern and committing to not wanting to do that anymore, you know, mentally and emotionally, is the first step. But then I think a lot of people struggle with actually doing it. You know, they might want to do it, but they don't know how. That ability to change is such a skill. You know, we've been studying ways to change, you know, our own minds and those of other people's for a couple of years, like you say, and that eventually, I suppose, gets to a point where it's effective. It's not something we're trying to do anymore, it's something we're doing.
Yeah. I think this experience for us has been the way it has been is because of the accountability that we have towards each other, and I think it's very important to build a skill to have that accountability, any form of skill, right? Like now we need to, if we want to practice this and being mindful and work on it, like how they say, right, the people that you hang out with is what you become, like the five people that you hang out the most.
Oh, that's frightening.
Because that's
particularly on lockdown.
Yeah. I mean, you can imagine if you have friends, or if you have people who are talking about working on themselves, self-love, self-improvement, and eating right, and positive thinking, and all of that. That's how the brain channelizes. Like, this is my experience, at least, when I know that I right now I have people where I know that you and Debbie and all of my friends are all talking about, we're all going through our personal growth, and we're all working towards self-love. We have that kind of awareness, and every time we have a conversation, the conversation is about how do we get better, and how do we help each other get better, and it doesn't just happen by yourself. You can't do it just alone. You need somebody to talk about it, you need somebody to reflect about it, you need to have, you know, you want to have a perspective about how the other person is dealing, because when there is a perspective, there is more to look at. You know, I would have missed looking at a particular situation in a particular way, and just by talking to you and listening to your perspective, I'm like, this can be done another way, and maybe I'm looking at breaking this pattern in the wrong way, maybe my method is not right because I'm still thinking in that way, and for me to break that pattern, I want to have somebody else's opinion, and that helps a lot, because every time we've had conversations, though the process is slow, I mean, a lot of these courses and a lot of these places, they say that you need to understand, like everywhere I see when people talk about self-development or creating healthy habits or creating this or creating that, it's more of, you know, where they're working on, okay, this happens in a week's time or 2 weeks' time, you know,
right.
It doesn't happen in 2 weeks' time. It does not. It's not. It's still a process, because there are so many things that are in the loop. Like, if there is an issue that you're going through, like, for example, me and with my relationship, it was not just my relationship that, you know, was pulling me down and having that relationship, but it also affected. It was a chain reaction. My health, my lifestyle, the way I looked at things, the way I, the way I handled my day, what I did day to day, my routine, my habits, everything went haywire, or it was in a different set of plane. And when things starts to reset, and when we start working and on building, bringing these barriers down, it again goes into a domino effect of motion, where, you know, it just, okay, this went down, and then it goes tick, 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 everything just,
yeah,
you know, comes down along with it, because it's a chain reaction that happens. And it definitely takes a long time. Like, that definitely needs a lot of work. It's like, you know, bringing up a plant, you need to fertilize it, you need to nurture it, you need to water it, you need to talk to it, you need to sing to it, you need to protect it, and then it turns into a bigger plant.
Yeah, I one of the things that you mentioned there was something that I observed in one of my clients last week. Was we were discussing about what had actually caused the change in their reality. You know, one minute they were fine, the next minute they were feeling anxious and having panic attacks, and I think a lot of it has to do with the capacity that we have within our own, you know, psyche, within our brain, within our emotional state. It's all, we're a coherent bundle, but when something happens which is outside of our control, sometimes that goes outside of our ability to hold ourselves together, it's like a thread, and someone pulls the thread, and suddenly, you know, suddenly the whole thing's, you know, a mess. It's like opening a can of worms, and you can't just put the lid back on again. It's not that simple. So we work back through all the different aspects of our life, our health, our our relationships, our economic situation, our family, our friends, and we run diagnostics on all those aspects of our life, and where we find there are issues, we work on them, and we get back to a point where we forget about that process, where we don't need to run those diagnostics anymore because life is going the way we want it to again, and we continue on that vein, and we forget, that there was ever a problem, and then until something else happens and brings us back to that whole loop again of, a thread gets pulled and suddenly we're just going, what the hell happened? And there's something in being proactive in that personal growth space of being proactive about running diagnostics on those different aspects of your life, even when things are great. Having enough space and time and capacity in your life to continually be able to run enough diagnostics to observe where improvements can be made in your life on a daily basis, so that as the weeks, the months, the years go by, you're developing resilience, so that when those knocks come, you can handle them. And I believe that's part of why those negative memories and emotions that have been coming back into my world is because somewhere I have an awareness that my level of resilience is different now, that I can handle thinking and dealing with those things now, and that I probably couldn't before, as if my brain's been waiting for me to be ready to be able to process them effectively. And yeah, that's also driven my awareness of the resilience that I now have, that's independent of anyone else. Particularly punctuated by, the periods of time when you're not around and I have to deal with these things myself, which is a good thing, because like you say, there's always that inner dialogue of, I can deal with this myself. I'm not going to burden someone else with it. And if you can, great. If you can't, then, for God's sake, go and talk to somebody as soon as physically possible.
I think that's the kind, like, the space that I am in right now. I mean, when you said that these thoughts keep coming, these negative emotions keep coming back, so the resilience that you've built, there's something that I have experienced recently is after even though I had moved out and it was not completely moving out, and there was not a complete disconnect. And when I recently went and got all my stuff, and I think that was me physically disconnecting from that negative emotion, that negativity that was in my life. And I can sense that sense of relief and freedom. And that doesn't mean that these emotions don't come back. They do come back. But I'm a lot more equipped to deal with it. And I'm like, okay, right now I don't want to do this because this is not how I want to feel anymore. And this is, it's like when you get to taste the better of life, why would I want to go back to feeling shitty anymore? Like, why would I want to even experience that? And I've reached a space where I'm like, yes, I want to feel great each and every day. I want to feel amazing every day. I want to, like, I know I'm gonna have, my day is not gonna be completely all the way up. I know I'm gonna have all of these ups and downs. I know I'm a person who switches state pretty quickly, but I'm aware of it. I know I have my support system that I can bounce back on, and whenever I want to reach out to my support system, and I can. And also, what's been interesting for me when you spoke about the cycle, that's what's been running in my head, like the cycle of this relationship that I have of building with myself and reconnecting with myself after the conversation that we had when you were here. I realized what I had put, I was there was a big block, there was a big barrier that I had cut myself off from, and without feeling and without experiencing anything anymore, I was literally dead. And since then till now, the journey has been so profound, because there is it's like that emotion, that experience it, work on it, move forward, again it comes back, again work on it, move forward, again it comes back, move forward, work on it. And the chunk of that experience is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller, and that's getting more easier to deal with. There's more awareness, there's more insight on, oh, okay, this is what's been happening, and this is what I've been doing, and come on, Neeti, you can get better than this. Come on, you can make better choices. Now, when I sense something is not working for me, I can see it. I can sense it, and I'm like, no, this is not the direction. I can cut it off at that point, and I can move to a different direction. I don't dwell on it and, sit on it for too long. So, and I think I was being harsh at some point of, like I told you, right? My work is not in place. I don't know how to be passionate. Like, I don't know. I know I love what I do,
Do you
but
say
that
you
passion
don't
is
know
not
how to be passionate?
there.
I would
I
challenge
would
that.
connect. Yeah, I know. I knew that. I knew that. Yeah.
You just
So,
mean in relation to your work?
yeah, relationship with my work. Yeah, because I know, like, when I see, that's what they say, right? When you see it in the other person, you have it in you already. And I've seen the way you work, and that's how I was. And I've been like, I want to go back to feeling that way, because I know my work gave me that drive. And with working comes independence, because of financial stability and security. And then the rest of it is, like, I know it. The rest of it comes easily to me to live my life, like, with my positivity or any happiness. All of that is just there. I know I can trigger it like that easily. So this bit of me where I had shut off from, in terms of work being productive, I think it was a long duration, like a 6 years duration, where I put in my effort for somebody else, and I think I had forgotten how it felt to work for yourself. And so this is the process right now that I am, that I want to work on, where
Well,
I can reconnect on, building that passion towards work. And
I think that's part of it though, is that that you're working for someone else. You're working essentially on someone else's dream, and you're putting in the same, well, you're putting in the level of commitment to someone else's dream over your own. And that's, I used to think that was love.
Exactly.
I don't think it is. I think it's avoidance. I think it's abandonment of self. And it's taken a long time to fully connect with that, and to recognize that it's not a constructive behavior. The selflessness that I think, comes with it is, can be amazing on occasion, but when it becomes a routine, when it becomes primary rather than secondary or tertiary, It overwhelms us. It takes us away from center. It removes ourselves from being number one priority, and that's not healthy in so many ways. But it's not to undervalue the achievement of selflessly supporting someone that you love in them achieving their goals in life, as long as it's not at the detriment of your own.
What I've noticed is there are that like it's not just me who've experienced this. So Debbie was she's very we're very alike in that way, and I have seen some other people as well who have some of us who are like this, who are emotionally invested in like if somebody else needs that, development and work and that support, we invest that much of it, thinking that the selflessness and giving is important. But the process of it, we forget that there's a thin line where it, leads to self-destruction as well, because you've just forgotten what you need to do for yourself. And I feel that people who are emotionally highly sensitive are the ones who deal with this kind of an experience more, because at least, I mean, this is my point of view, because I know that.
I think it's attachment type. It's if you're an anxious attachment type, you're looking to get reassurance from that person that you're doing it for, some kind of reward, return, value, in the hope that when you put more effort in to them, that you're going to get something back. And that whole system, that whole logic is completely wrong. It's flawed, because if you're in the wrong relationship, if you're in a relationship with someone that doesn't appreciate you, putting more effort in isn't going to solve it. The only way that you're going to feel more appreciated is if you appreciate yourself. So I think the pattern that we're observing is a pattern of self-abandonment, where we're not getting what we need from ourselves. We're not getting the love that we need from ourselves, and therefore putting the goals of someone else ahead of our own in order, in the vain hope that someone, that person, is going to help us. And I think often when you're in a relationship with someone who's avoidant, or is maybe slightly narcissistic and is focused on their own goals, they're probably not going to notice that you're doing it. They're not going to notice that you're sacrificing yourself for them. They're certainly not going to, stop you from doing it. And so you get into this situation where it seems like it's a the right thing to do, because they're happy with it, you're happy because you're kind of giving and hoping that it's going to work out. But the only loser in the situation is you, is the person that's giving in this unconditional way, that's going over the top and sacrificing yourself. And I would love to be able to shake people that were in that position that I was in, that's in the position that you were in, and just say, look what you're doing. Where do you fit in? Who's looking after you? Is this person reciprocating? If they are, great. If they are reciprocating, fantastic. Stay, keep doing it, because you're getting what you need back out of that system. But if not, there's something fundamentally wrong there. To be with someone who can't reciprocate, that doesn't understand your needs well enough to not pay back, but to balance things out. It's time to step back until you get to a point where that balance is achieved again. And if that is completely away from that person, then so be it.
So this is the opposites, right? So now that's something that I've gotten away from, and my relationship right now, this with Debbie and I, we both are the same kind of people, okay? And we are selfless, and we give, and we sacrifice, and stuff like that. And there is more appreciation from each other. We have, I think, when it's the same kind of people put together, the relationship emerges into so much more love, and there's so much more, like, I've seen the other side, like the flip side that you were talking about, and now I'm experiencing the side where both of us are the same kind of people, and we both appreciate when she does something for me and I do something for her, and there is more involvement. There is, you know, the time that she spends for me, I appreciated the time that I spent for her, she's appreciated. The relationship grows into a more fulfilling relationship. And I think I had to experience this, though she's my best friend, and, you know, it's a different term of a relationship, but there is this fulfillment, this is satisfaction that, you know, okay, I am getting this need of being loved, and that reassurance from the other person, and everything else. My effort has been appreciated, my efforts have been noticed, and there's that sense of self-appreciation that's been developing with me. And I think it's important for all of us to have that one person. I think that's what we all look for, right? That's how we land up being with the opposite side, and we get attracted towards the opposite side. But this is what we looking at, you know, having this kind of sense of security and sense of leaning on to that person. I think, and you and I have also had the same relationship for so long, where that's how the experience of being with each other is a lot more fulfilling, you know,
supportive.
The conversation with each other is a lot more, you know, productive. We don't have to mask anything, because you don't feel like, okay, she is going to be upset, and she's, you know, the reaction's going to be different.
Well,
you know,
I do.
You know. You do?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think about it. Like, so,
and I don't you mean I don't stop myself from saying something in case it has a negative reaction?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think, we are, in that way, it's more fulfilling relationship that we have because of the kind of people, that similarities that we have in terms of avoidant and anxious. So, you know, there are so many similarities that we've had. So I think training, like how they say, right, you train your mind to look for what you want, and that's what you get. And I've been constantly doing that. And it's as time passes by, things get a lot more easier, and I don't want to put myself through that process of feeling bitter and having these negative thoughts about myself, or self-doubt anymore in my mind about how I want to lead the rest of my life. I want to feel good, I want to feel great. So I think it's the choices that we make, and I know it doesn't come easily, it doesn't come in a day's time, it's a process. But it's worth the process.
Yeah,
life is more easy, and life is more simple. And that's how I put it. Like, life is actually a lot more easy, because conversation, you can just pick up. I can say, hey, hi, Rich, what's up? What you doing? I'm feeling this way. And you would say, oh, okay, this is how I'm feeling. This. Oh, great. And then towards the end of the conversation, both are feeling good and feeling happy. And there is a satisfaction. Rather than I call somebody and say, hey, I'm feeling this way. Oh, I don't know. Like, right now, I'm not even in the top. That's not something. I mean, that's difficult conversation. And I don't want to have any more difficult conversations. And Again, that's ahimsa, right? We keep going back to them, thinking that working away from and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things in what you said that
Non-violence.
I challenge slightly. I think it's easy to understand somebody that's similar to you. It's less challenging because your maps are similar, your ideas about things are similar, your approach. What's challenging is when someone doesn't agree with you. And you're in a situation where you have to deal with that, and that's when we get tested. It's easy to be around people that are the same as us. It's hard to be in situations with people that take us out of our comfort zone. And when you're in that situation, that's when you need the resilience. That's when you need to be able to stand on your own 2 feet. So I would argue that when you're around people that are similar to you, that is the time to actually be even more independent, because
True, true.
that's a more comfortable situation to really try out how much you can stand on your own 2 feet and not need that reassurance from someone else, so that when you're in a situation where you're with your ex again and they're challenging you, that you're not going to necessarily have Debbie there to help you. It could be a super stressful environment where you're out of your comfort zone geographically, and there's other people watching and social pressure and all these intensities. That's when your resilience needs to be there. And so I think when you're in a comforting environment, that's the opportunity to really push the boat out and
So I
prepare.
would want to challenge that in like in a different way. I mean, I wouldn't say challenge. It's more of the point that I was getting to in terms of saying that this comfort zone is important because this comfort zone helps me fulfill my personal way of feeling good about myself, my self-development. So when I am put in the position where I am going to be facing the uncomfortable position or environment, I know like this has I've experienced it. So now that I have Debbie in my life, I know that I can bounce back at her and I know she's there and that's she's there is a this is my safe zone. And when I step out and go and meet my ex-husband or whatever the situation I am in, I don't feel that kind of negativity anymore. Dealing with that situation has become a lot more easier for me because I'm not self-doubting anymore. I don't have that question mark saying that, oh, maybe I'm wrong. If whatever he has to say, he says. Whatever
Right.
conversation which is not, I've had that. It's still the same situation when I go back and talk to him, and it's still the same way. Like, I am like, wow. This is why I'm not here anymore. And
Yeah.
I think that comparison just makes things a lot more easier for me. Where I'm getting at is to have that backup, to see the wonderful side of what you can have and how this not constructive thing that you don't want to have in your life. I mean, you will meet people like Lohit or these guys all the time. These guys are gonna be there. There are so many of them that you will meet in your life. And it's just to understand that this is not permanent and you can just deal with them at that point and you don't have to carry it back into your life again is
Yeah,
that's where I'm getting at,
I
Because you have
understand.
your yeah, you have the sense of security about yourself. And you're put together no matter how, even if that affects you at that point, you go back to that sense of security, your refuge again, and then you reset, and then it works better for you. So that's where I was getting at,
Yeah.
having this
Team
support
Niti.
system.
You need Team Niti so that when you don't feel like it's just you and your thoughts, you've got that. You've got a group of people around you that are supportive, that you can bounce ideas off. Well, it's funny because when you said that, it actually made me think of the kind of sycophantic group of friends that I, often see around people that show narcissistic tendencies, where, their friends just are there reinforcing their behavior. Oh, you've got to stand up for yourself. You've got to do what you think is right. All this kind of stuff. Which is great sometimes, but is that friendship group challenging that person's behavior? Are they actually looking at the truth of the situation and saying, actually, maybe you judge that wrong, or, perhaps you're a little bit unfair, or maybe you're actually twisting this story round to fit your needs, your narrative, rather than actually looking at their narrative. And having friends that will actually challenge you and support you, rather than just tell you that you're right, rather than just comfort you, rather than just, tell you what you want to hear. And that's a true friend, is the one that will tell you the truth in a loving, compassionate, and understanding way, and that can look at you and your life and your behavior objectively.
That's exactly what you do, right? Like, that's the kind of person that you are. That's the same kind of person she is as well, Debbie is as well. She does not just say, "Oh, wow, Neeti, you're doing this wrong." Even if I'm wrong, she wouldn't say I'm right. She would say I'm wrong. Like, there have been times where you have asked me to stand up for myself, and you've told me, like, that's one word that I can never forget. I mean, is I can't be your knight in shining armor right now, and you need to be that. And you had to tell me that, and it did. Like, for me at that point, it was harsh, and I was like, what? Why wouldn't he rescue me? So if you did it that day, if you did rescue me that day, you would be what you are talking about right now. Not constructive enough. But you are always challenging me. Debbie is always challenging me. If there is something that needs work on, it's honest opinion saying that it needs work on, you're not doing it right, you need to figure out what are you doing. So I think, I do understand what you're saying, and I have reached a point where I have recognized these people in my life that I have right now, and I honestly feel that it's not always the same. Like, though we are similar, we're not the same people. We have so much of differences. We have so many different way of looking at different things. That's how we even connect, right? The conversations that we've been having is your perspective is different, my perspective is different, your take, like, even in this just simple last half an hour to 45 minutes conversation, you've had so many different way of looking at it, and I have had so many. And yet there is a center point where we listen to each other, and then we talk about it, we evaluate it, and then there is a point which is, a midway. We meet halfway at some point, and there is evolution. So if you say I'm wrong, and if I challenge that means there is development, there is growth. So when I talk about having these kind of fulfilling relationships, it can be built and it can be worked on. So where you are challenging me enough for me to things go. When I say you're my safe zone, that doesn't mean that you make things easy for me. You have put my difficulty level to 4.
And I
So
enjoy doing that sometimes, I have to be honest.
yeah, exactly. There. So that means I am in a right relationship where I am challenged. Though you are my comfort zone, you don't keep me comfort. You're always challenging me, and
I'm
that's
not
amazing.
always
That's
challenging you. I did give you comfort too. It's not
You do cut me slack here and there where I have to request you. And I said, Rich, no, I think please stop it there. So yeah, so that's the kind of relationship that I want for myself, and I think I'm building that relationship for myself. And for people out there, whoever I meet, I keep telling them that, that this is the kind of meaningful relationship, the conversations that you have. And it's important to have that support system, and you know, people that you are with. There are going to be people who are going to challenge you. The ones who are narcissistic, and they are the extremes. They are the ones who put us in stress because the way we are. But having said that, they are the ones who help us realize that we can build this resilience, and you know, help us find the right people for ourselves. And creating meaningful relationship is something very important, like in terms of non-violence that you have been talking about and ahimsa that you're practicing. This is something that I feel that for me it has been a very important thing. For me, relationships are the most important, like the first thing that comes in my core values. To have that meaningful relationship with the couple of people that I spend my life with, and during this course of time, that this is the first thing that I have worked on, you know, on ahimsa, of having that meaningful relationship, which adds value and also challenges me and helps me grow in my life and makes life a lot more interesting.
Yeah. So what's our take out from this chat then, Neeti?
Take out from this chat for me would be ahimsa, I think, is something that can be recognized in any aspects of your life, like how we move from one situation to another situation, and how we practice ahimsa in that situation is, you know, how mindfully we can practice ahimsa at that situation is what brings out the essence of that moment.
Yep.
It's what I'm taking it out. Like, this is my take out.
I think you've reminded me of the importance of not just having the right friends and the supportive friends around me, but also the value of those friends.
Yeah.
To not take them for granted and to really feel the value of that connection in a similar way to how I would value having a relationship with a romantic partner, to have that same depth of connection with someone who is a friend, and to feel that same sort of love, because having a relationship, a friendship, it's free from a lot of the complexities that partnership, you know, romantic partnership brings.
Yeah.
And so to truly value the friendships that I have, that's I'm going to take that out, and I'm going to focus on really feeling the value of that connection and using it to drive my compassion and my, you know, sense of well-being, you know, over the next few days. Yeah.
Wonderful. I would like to add something to it. I think a basis of any relationship is friendship. Like, even in a romantic relationship, that's something that you've established with your partner, of being that great friends, because being friends with somebody means you see the negatives and positives, and you challenge them. And if all of this is there as the base of that relationship, then after that is whatever just is a cakewalk. Like, it's the most beautiful thing, because you just are there by the side, and it becomes more effortless. It becomes more, it manipulates and it magnifies into a larger experience of that relationship. I'm talking about a romantic relationship. So
yeah, you're so right.
Yeah.
You've unfortunately triggered me off on a whole new mental conversation, and the error of ending up in a relationship with someone that you're not actually good friends with. So many people do it. You know, those couples that you see sitting at a table at dinner, not talking to each other because they've got nothing to say. It's frightening the number of times, you know, I've been in positions, you know, with long-term partners where I've felt like I didn't want to go out to dinner with them because I just didn't really particularly want to face sitting next to them, having to listen to their stories about life for, you know, for however many hours we were out. You know, and that, even that sort of, even that, the negativity that I have towards that, I just had a little alarm bell ringing then going, that's not Ahimsa. You know, in that statement, there was something, you know, I was being negative, and actually, that was the wrong way to do it. The reality is that those couples that are in that position, that are sitting next to each other, I think they both really want to be happy. They really want, you know, to be having a good time with their partner, and perhaps like they used to. But somehow they've lost that communication. They've lost that ability to feed compassion and love back into the process, and just talk it through and just listen to each other and care, you know, and get back to a point where they've got that common ground and that commonality again that they've lost because one or both of them have not been investing, like you say, in the relationship anymore.